Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the name of Jesus. Turn your Bibles with me before you sit down. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. And I'm reading from the Bible in Basic English Edition, BBE. Bible in Basic English Edition. If you have it, can you project it on the screen? Because I want them to read with me. You don't have BBE. All right, so I'll read my thing myself. If the iron has no edge and he does not make it sharp, then he has to put out more strength. But wisdom makes things go well. Everybody say, but wisdom makes things go well. Say it again with me. Say it one more time. Hallelujah. So the Bible is explaining something here. Don't sit down, though. Wait for me. If you have a cutlass or an axe and you're trying to cut something down, if that cutlass or axe is not sharp, you're going to expend a lot of strength and energy to try and cut that thing down. But once you sharpen it, it is very easy to cut whatever you are cutting down. Wisdom, the Bible is revealing to us from this scripture, is a virtue that makes things sharp and makes things go well. New Living Translation said that's the value of wisdom. It helps you to succeed. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Bow down your hearts and let us pray. Thank you, Father, this morning. We commit our service into your hands. Let your spirit be present amongst us. May he cause us to receive wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Make us doers of your word and not hearers only, so that we will not deceive ourselves. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed with thanksgiving. And let everybody say, amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap. And now you may be seated. Are you glad to be in church this morning? All right. M.M. Kids, God bless you. Will you defe for me? Where is Felix? So you can do that for me later on. All right, that's fine. You defe for me. All right. What is happening this Saturday? What's happening this Saturday in Ghana? We're going to vote, is that not so? So this Saturday, Ghanaians will be going to elect the next president and the members of parliament to lead this nation for a four-year term. Is that not so? All right. Now, this morning, I want to share a message with us to guide us as we go to the polls. So the title of my sermon is How to Vote Wisely as We Go to the Polls. Do you like my sermon? All right. How to Vote Wisely as We Go to the Polls. And like I read in Ecclesiastes 10:10, the last part of it, wisdom makes things go well. I think that our country should be doing better than it's doing. There is no reason for us to have some of the problems that we have currently, because God has been gracious to us and has also blessed us with virtually everything that we need to do well as a country. If you ask me, and you may want to argue with me about it, one of the reasons why we are where we are is because we haven't had a certain kind of leadership. If you check the history of countries that have done well, it's been because of the type of leaders that they had. At least it's one of the major reasons for the transformation and the prosperity of those countries. So check South Korea, check Singapore, and there are many other examples we can mention. One striking thing you will notice for all these countries is that they had a certain kind of leadership. And the cardinal sign of that type of leadership is wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. You've heard me explain before that wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge, understanding, experience, insight, and common sense. It is not just about what you know. It is not just about the experiences you've had. But most importantly, the ability to apply what you know, what you understand, what you've experienced, what you have insight into, is what causes things to work out well. Can somebody say an amen there? So wisdom makes things go well. I think that most Ghanaians vote without thinking deeply. I'm being very polite. All right? If I say what I really want to say, the church will spoil. So I won't say what I really want to say. Wisdom is guiding me. Is that not so? Yeah. I'm saying that most voters, when they go voting, do not think deeply about issues. And we often do not cast a wise vote. It's my prayer that what I'm sharing with you today will make a difference in your life and in mine. If you're not upset with me, can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
I have a major responsibility to feed you with knowledge and understanding, according to Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15. And it is not just knowledge on spiritual issues, but knowledge also on secular issues. Hallelujah. Because remember that our lives have a spiritual dimension and have a secular and a carnal dimension. And we exist in both worlds, the spiritual world and the natural world. And there's a need for us to do well in both realms. So what I'm sharing with us today is important for us. And I believe that God is going to help us today and show us some very important things. How to vote wisely as we go to the polls. So how can we vote wisely come Saturday? Number one, we should pray and ask God to guide us as we vote. That's the first point. Pray and ask God to guide you as you vote. How many will be honest with me and agree that rarely do you pray before you go to vote? Can I say by show of hands? At least I have a few honest people in church. Yeah, but I am very convinced that most of us, when we are going to vote, do not pray before we vote. Look with me at Acts chapter 1, verse 21 to 26. Acts chapter 1, verse 21 to 26, New Living Translation. The background to this story is after Jesus had ascended, the early disciples gathered. And during one of those occasions, there were about 120 of them there. Then Peter stood up and addressed them, saying that there was a need to get a replacement for Judas, who you would remember betrayed Jesus and ended up committing suicide. And Peter explained that they must be 12 instead of 11. This is what he said to the people. So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus, from the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us. In other words, don't let's go in for a journey, just come. I don't know why they like using my name for these expressions. I don't get it at all. So let's not choose a novice, JJC for short. He said, and he continued, whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Now, what do they do after that? The Bible says, then they all prayed. They all did what? They all did what again? They prayed, oh Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in this ministry. For he has deserted us and gone where he belongs. Peter was not very kind here. Then the next thing they did was then they cast lots, which is a certain type of voting. It's not exactly the same thing, but we can say for the purpose of this discussion that they voted. And Matthias won the elections. He was selected to become an apostle with the other 11. Amen. They were going to vote, and the first thing that they did was to say that again with me. They prayed. Because they understood that it was important that the decision that they were taking was guided by God. In Psalms 127 verse 1, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. What it means is that anything that we are trying to do in this life, if God doesn't bless our efforts, or if God doesn't permit certain things, what we are setting out to do will not work. Can I have an amen from somebody? You may believe it or not, but I'm a believer, and I believe that for anything to work out, God must permit it, because he's God and he's sovereign. And the Bible says he rules in the affairs of men. As believers, therefore, when we are going to the polls to go and vote, it is important to pray for God's guidance. Now, God, in a certain sense, is not going to choose a leader for us. He's giving us the power of choice, to make choices, to make certain decisions. But if we involve him, he can guide us to choose well and to choose properly. Hallelujah. And that is why, as we are going to vote this coming Saturday, we must pray and ask God to guide us. Look at Proverbs 29 verse 18. Reading from the Good News Translation. A nation without God's guidance is a nation without order. Did you see that? A nation without God's guidance is a nation without order. I didn't make this up. It's right there in the Word of God. And there are a lot of things that are out of place and out of order in our country. The Bible is saying that without God's guidance, it will remain so, or it will continue to be so. Which is why as we go to vote, we must pray and ask God to guide us. Can somebody say an amen to that? Look at Psalms 146 verse 3 to 5. New Living Translation. Psalms 146 verse 3 to 5. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. Powerful people like politicians. Do not put your confidence in them. Why? What does the Bible say? There is no help for you there. So that thing where people put their trust and their everything in political leaders is an error. And the disappointments that you have had from putting your trust in these people should have taught you a lesson by now that if God doesn't help you, nobody can help you. You thought that when he becomes the member of parliament, he will give you a road contract. That's what you thought. Obviously, it didn't happen, because if it had happened, perhaps you would not be sitting here today. And people place their hope and their confidence in the arm of flesh of the so-called powerful people. The Bible continues and says, when they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. Pay attention. Focus on me. Asempe. Edia Semineba. So focus on me. And all their plans die with them. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Ladies and gentlemen, as we go to vote, our focus must be on the Lord. And our hope must be in him as the one who will change and the one who can transform our nation. Hallelujah. Amen. So may we not put our hope and our trust and our confidence in any political figure. Which is why we must pray and ask God to guide us and direct us, so that when you enter the booth to cast your vote, you would have prayed and God answers prayers, so he will guide you. I know that somebody is saying that me maya na gende da o and to say prayer asemia wo kan en ko si aga. You see, when you do that, you are nullifying my preaching, and it's a very bad attitude to have, because you said that I have closed, I'm going home. Open the door for me. Because I could actually hear somebody saying in your head. Pastor Elvis is trying to spoil the service. The Bible says, hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise unto thy latter end. Hallelujah. Amen. And as your pastor, I am teaching you how to vote wisely when you go to the polls on Saturday. Somebody say, thank you, pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Number two. I know I am. Number two, we must vote according to Christian and biblical values. And we must also vote based on issues. Amen. We must vote according to Christian and biblical values, and we must also vote based on issues. So I'm stressing two things here: Christian and biblical values. Tell the person sitting by you, remember that you are a Christian. Tell another person, remember that you are a Christian. Because it's very easy for Christians to forget who they are. So remember that you are a Christian and you believe in the Bible. And you're supposed to believe that the Bible is a manual for life and everything pertaining to it. So vote according to Christian and biblical values, and you must also vote based on issues. Now let's talk about Christian and biblical values. Micah chapter 6 verse 8. Micah chapter 6 verse 8, New Living Translation. It says, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Listed in this one verse are some Christian and biblical values. What is good? We should always be looking out for what is good. It's a Christian thing and a biblical thing to look out for what is good. It also talks about what is right. When we go voting, we must look for what is right. What is right? That the person that I am voting for and the people that I am voting for, are they going to do what is right? Ask yourself. NISC say agrobeswa if you are not pa. So ask yourself that this person that I'm going to vote for, does he have a record of doing what is right? Do you understand what God is saying to you this morning? It's a Christian thing. It's a Christian value. To love mercy, that means you must have compassion. The people you are voting for, are they compassionate people? Do they feel for us? Because a lot of our political leaders, they don't feel for the people they are leading. So ask yourself, the person I'm going to vote for, does he have feelings? Does he have what? Feelings. Does he have compassion? Another thing there, and compassion is a Christian virtue. It's a biblical value. So be interested in that. And another one, walk humbly. The person you are voting for, is he humble? Is he diabaya? Humble. Because humility is a Christian value. It's a biblical value. And there are other things. Freedom of worship. Why are you, Mr. Christian, Madam Christian, why are you not thinking about things like freedom of worship? Because you must have the freedom to worship God freely in this country. Otherwise, there'll be a big problem. So the people you are voting for, do you get the impression about them that under their watch we will still have freedom of worship? You must think about it. Justice. Justice. It's a Christian value. It's a biblical value. And it's even a secular value. The people we are voting for, are they going to do what is just? What is just and what is right? Am I speaking to somebody? So I'm just explaining to you that don't just vote, but vote guided by biblical and Christian values. And not just that, but also vote based on the issues. Don't just go and vote. I heard Pastor Mensah Otterbill saying that a lot of Ghanaian voters, they have put their vote on autopilot. And he said that when you put your vote on autopilot, you are insulting your intelligence. It means that you don't think deeply about things. Don't just vote based on party colors. Colors in the effect. Don't just vote based on slogans. What's it then? You people, if I allow you, you spoil the church. Slogans and party symbols. Don't just vote because of adverts or jingles. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Jingle. You like the jingle that is being played on radio. So when you go into the booth, when you do that, you are insulting your dear Ben intelligence. Don't just vote because of a t-shirt that somebody gave to you. I should stay there a bit. T-shirt and 50 Ghana cedis. And then 5 kilo rice. And then cutlass. Na, niya ekumikra ne bentwano. Me say nia ekumikra ne biya diena. Bentwano. Bentwano. Bentwano yadi yadi. Are you voting tomorrow? Security forces and all of that. Auntie Aggie, where's my Auntie Aggie? There you are. Are you also voting tomorrow? Wow. Mesemwa. Nyami dimu. Monto abapa. Amen. Why? Cutlass. 50 cedis. Then you take what is your power, because your vote is your power, and you just go and give it to somebody who gave you 50 Ghana cedis and a t-shirt. You must vote based on issues. And issues are things that every Ghanaian, you don't have to be highly educated to understand issues. Issues about the economy. And understanding the economy is not a complex thing. Once you go to the market to go and buy things, you know what you earn. You know the fetching power of what you earn. It should tell you a lot about the economy. So think about that. Think about issues like inflation. Think about issues like the exchange rate. Think about issues like justice, education, care, protection of human dignity and life. You deserve a life of dignity. A life of dignity is a life of honor. It is a life where you should be able to provide comfortably for your wife and your seven children. Seven adosmo. Seven M said dosu. Wada Roma. But if there are seven or there are three, you should be able to provide comfortably for them. It cannot be that when you hear a knock on your door, you are running to hide under the bed. Odeka. When you hear the landlord knocking and you hear the voice calling your name, you are jumping out of the bedroom window. Have you seen that you've broken your leg? That is not a life of dignity. And I pray for you that by the grace of God, you will experience a dignified life in the name of Jesus. These are the issues that you must think about. Security. The security of the country. So you must vote based on issues. Not just based on sentiments. Not just based on feelings. Not just based on party affiliation. Not just based on a jingle or an advert or 50 CDs or a t-shirt. Or the last one that I said. Ask yourself that these people that I am voting for, this president that I'm voting for, this member of parliament that I'm voting for, do they care about the people? Do they care about the marginalized? Do they have interventions in place that will take care of the vulnerable in the society? Because a good leader thinks about the poor and the disadvantaged and the vulnerable in the country. It's important. The other day I was talking to a church member and she made it clear that she's going to vote for this current government because of free SHS. That's what she said. At least she's thinking based on an issue. But free SHS is not the only thing to think about. So I'm expecting somebody like that to consider what, because I was explaining that I couldn't pay my children's fees. If it wasn't for the free SHS, my children could not have gone to school. And it's an intervention that was put in place. And we must give credit to whom credit is due. Somebody thought about the idea and another person implemented it. But we need such social interventions for the less privileged in the society to rise up. So you must vote based on issues. And I'm saying to you that you must be holistic in your assessment of issues. Don't be one plug. You are only thinking of one thing. But free SHS is not just the only thing to think about. You must think about the natural resources. Natural thing, resources. Think about the security. There are various things to think about. So let's vote based on Christian and biblical values, and then also vote based on issues. I don't know whether I'm helping anybody at all this morning. Number three, we must vote for godly leaders. What do you think? We must vote for godly leaders. Now, godly leaders acknowledge God. They know God. And they fear God. Even if they don't have all three, they should have at least one or two. Amen. Godly people acknowledge God, they know God, and they fear God. And you must factor that in on who to vote for come Saturday, the 7th of December. The people I'm voting for, are they godly? Godly leaders exhibit the traits and the attributes or the characteristics of God. God is many good things. God is what? Mention them. God is love. God is gracious. God is kind. All right? God is a protector. God is a provider. God is just. God is merciful, compassionate. God is truthful. These are qualities of God. So when you say that somebody is godly, that person has these traits. Now, when I talk about being godly, I'm not talking about being perfect in that regard. Because as long as we are human, we may have some imperfections associated with that. But at least we must see a certain trend. We must see some of these godly traits in the person that we are voting for. A lot of Americans were shocked when they went to the polls and Donald Trump won. They were totally shocked. They were shocked by the margin with which he won. If you talk to and interview a lot of those who voted for him, they would explain to you that it is because of his stance on things like abortion, LGBTQWXYZEFGHIJKL. That's a plus, 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 plus. Admittedly, he has a lot of challenges. And sometimes it is painful to listen to him talk and to watch him talk. But at least he has certain values. And he's thinking of putting God back in the schools. Because what America has done over the years is to kick God out of the schools and out of many of their institutions. And he's thinking of putting God back. At least he has some godly traits. So what am I saying to you? Let's vote for godly leaders. Look at Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. So godly leaders acknowledge, they know, and they fear God. And godly leaders exhibit the attributes or traits of God. In Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. What it means is that without fearing God, you cannot be wise. And what it also means is that without knowledge of the Holy One, you cannot exercise good judgment consistently. That's what it means. Then look with me at Proverbs 14:34. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 34. Godliness makes a nation great, but sin is a disgrace to any nation. Now, godliness makes a nation great. How many of us want Ghana to be great and strong? God bless our homeland, Ghana. And make our nation great and strong. Yeah. How many want Ghana to be great and strong? And those of you who are seated here and telling yourself that I'm not a Ghanaian. Oh boy. We are Ghanaian. What's it? When you're half-half. Okay, you're half-half. You have dual citizenship. Heaven. And then Ghana. Yeah, so you are right in what you said. We must want Ghana to become great. I can forget to say, "Onfan into my pa, infra." And Ghana can be great. And by the grace and mercies of God, Ghana will be great again. I believe that our struggles will end. But a lot depends on our voting. Hallelujah. Godliness also has to do with doing what is right. Doing what is right. And godly leaders, they do what is right. Now, the Bible says, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Sin is doing what is wrong. And doing what is wrong leads to shame and disgrace. And unfortunately, we've disgraced ourselves as a country. Because we have messed up a lot of the beautiful resources that God gave to us. We've messed up our water bodies. We've destroyed our forests. The country is hotter than it's ever been before. We've messed up the environment. We've disgraced ourselves. Because considering what God has endowed us with, compared to other countries, we should be light years ahead of them. What don't we have? And do not turn this into a political debate, because successive governments have failed us. They have. Our military adventures, our democratic journeys, they failed us. Look at what we do with our beaches. The beaches. We messed them up completely. Then there are countries who have created artificial beaches because they are deserts. Go to United Arab Emirates. Tell your neighbor, I'll be there. You are asking where it is. Dubai. Dubai. That's what I'm... And I'm not talking about Circle Dubai at the end. The next time you are there, tell them that you want to go and see the beach. It's artificial. Go to the Caribbean and see the beautiful beaches. I lived in Barbados for a month. And one of the things that I used to do, you know, sometimes, is to go to their beaches. It's amazing. Elvis, why are you laughing? As Elvis said, he thought about Kolegono. Kolegono Beach. As I was saying, your mind went to the Kolegono Beach. Chemwena. The story could have been different. But because ya swashia wrong things, so them no can. Ya so wrong things. So because of that, we've allowed the beautiful blessings that God has given to us to go waste. And I'm saying to you again, don't turn what I'm saying into a political discourse. When you do that, you're being disingenuous and you're being dishonest. And to set the record straight, I don't belong to any political party. And for the subsequent elections, I have voted for different political parties, including those that I knew will never win. I voted for somebody like that. As I was there and I was casting the vote, I felt a voice saying, "Now what crowd then are we in here?" But I voted based on my convictions. At least I wanted to come out of that, know that I voted based on my assessment of issues. And he didn't win. Even 1%. He no get some. So we must vote for godly people who will make this nation beautiful again. Proverbs 29 verse 2. When the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. When the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. That means that the people are happy. The people are happy when the godly are in authority. But when the wicked are in power, they groan. Which means that it's in our own interest to vote for godly people and not for wicked people. And you can tell. Don't tell me that you can't tell when somebody is godly. Of course, sometimes you can be tricked. So I made a point here, not just in word, but in deed as well. Because one of the things with people who are vying for political power is that they've learned how to say all the right things. They go everywhere, and everywhere they go, they know what they have to say to make the people like them. But it's not just about what you say. It's also very much about what you do. So we must vote for godly leaders. Number four, let us vote for well-respected leaders, full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. They must not be novices. We must not vote for novices. We must vote for well-respected leaders, full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So ask yourself, as you're going to cast your ballot, this person I'm voting for to be president, this person that I'm voting for to be member of parliament, question, is he a well-respected person? Number two, is he full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? Ask yourself that. Don't just cast your vote because he's the one that the party you support has presented. Don't do that. Let's not do that. Ask, is he or she a well-respected person? Is he or she full of wisdom? Is he or she knowledgeable? Have you noticed that there are some members of parliament, you never hear them speak at parliament? The only thing they say is, yeah, yeah. That's the only thing that they say. Ask yourself, your member of parliament, have you heard him or her making any sensible contribution in parliament before? He's the one you voted for. What's our Ajiweniso? What's our Ajiweniso? What's our Ajiweniso? The contribution that your MP makes in parliament is that he's the one who fights when there's an issue, dragging people and all of that. Being an MP is more than that. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 13. In Deuteronomy, Moses was recounting the journey and the experiences of the people of Israel from the time God took them out of Egypt and the 40 years that they traveled through the wilderness. And at this time that he was speaking to them and recounting their journey experiences, they were on the brink of entering the promised land. And he was telling them about different things. Now he tells them about one of the things that happened. It got to a time Moses was tired. The burden on him was too much. At a point he even begged God. He said, God, the burden is too much. In fact, kill me now. Kill me now. Why should I wait to die later? After all die begin. Die. Kill me now. It's too much. And then God directed him on what to do. So I was telling the people about that experience and what he, Moses, told them. Choose some well-respected men. What type of men? Well-respected. It's important that the person you vote for is well-respected. From each tribe who are known for their wisdom and understanding, and I will appoint them as your leaders. Proverbs 11 verse 14. Without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advices. If you are wise, you will listen to counsel and you listen to advice. One of the ways of demonstrating foolishness is when you cannot be advised. After King Solomon passed, his son, I think it's Rehoboam, somebody check for me, became king. I always confuse him with Jeroboam. I think it's Rehoboam. He became king. And when he became king, the elders of the people went to see and said, actually, under your father's rule, things were not easy at all. He used to pepper us. We paid all kinds of taxes. And they advised him that if you want to win the heart of the people, reduce the burden on them. Oh, these are the elders. And you should not despise it when elders are speaking to you. Because they've seen something that you have not seen before. Rehoboam listened to them and tell them, go, come back later on, I'll give you a reply. And then he went to look for some people who were as foolish as himself. Young men, novices, without experience. The hey kind of people. We are pulling cutlass. We are pulling gun. We are pulling knife. Those kinds of people. He said, actually, the old men come with and they talk all these things. What make I talk then? He said, Charlie, make you, when they come and make you talk them, say, we not go do. We go mia inside for them. It be now when we they come tighten the thing inside. We go pepper them for this country inside. When the old man came for the reply, he told them that my father, he used to chastise you with whips, but for me, scorpions. I will chastise you with. You said I should reduce taxes and all of those things. I shan't. Forget it. At this point, the people said, Ibiso, it's all right, we are going. Each one of us to our tents. Now, he inherited a country that was together. Under his leadership, the country was split in twain. Divided the country. And that's when we now started having the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. When you have a certain kind of leader where sense no day in head inside, you just spoil the country. Because it is wise leadership that makes a country stand. Please get this. Get this. It's not money. It is true that the Bible says money answered all things. But it's not just money that makes things work. There are people who have a lot of money, but it's not changing much for them. And the thing also is that you can have a lot of money, but you waste it at the end of the day through your foolish decisions. You say you have a lot of money, so you're going to start a business. Praise God. But you see, you don't have wisdom. So because of that, you're going to waste it. You've started a thing and the business is not flourishing. So you have a provision shop and you have everything inside. Milk in here, sardine in here, tinapa in here, mackerel in here, citron in here, inkati in here. All of those things. Granules, your provisions. Yeah. If it's in a bottle, it's a provision. If it's tied in a rubber, it's a what? Accessory. So when we come to the shop, everything there inside, but nobody is coming to buy. Why? Your attitude stinks. You think, sir, Mara ni Mara. Hey, you don't realize that good customer relationship practices makes businesses work and grow and flourish. So you are binding that old woman who lives behind your house. We say, my business here ain't tumpong, eh, mommy. May I inform you that when you grow to get to an age, that is if you get there, you will even look worse. Because when you are growing, we name it to me, yehu. You've seen one before. Then there are others also, when they are growing, they look very beautiful. Like Auntie Lizzie. Mama one. But I see you, the way your behavior and attitude is. It has nothing to do with the old woman. It has nothing to do with her. The problem is you. And you're not wise in the way you deal with people. When people come to the shop, you are rude to them. When people come to the shop, you talk down on them. Why are you shishemu and then shishenim? So when somebody comes and the person doesn't look a certain way, you treat the person with so much disrespect. That's why it is not working. I'm explaining something to you. It's not about having just investment. You need wisdom. So ladies and gentlemen, let's vote for well-respected leaders full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. My time is up. Let's finish up. We must vote for humble leaders. We must vote for humble leaders. Proverbs 11:2. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. So you can see again that there are certain things that bring wisdom. Humility is one of them. Pride goes before destruction. It is not difficult to predict the future of a proud person. You can always tell. And you don't need to be a prophet for that. Proud and arrogant people, they end up destroying themselves and they always end up falling. So the person you are voting for, ask yourself, is he humble? Is she humble? Because if there's no humility, you should know that there's no wisdom. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. Arrogance, pride. And you can tell by the way people talk. You can tell by the comments that they make. When you are explaining to them the situation with the people and you are asking for a change and you are asking for help, they throw sarcastic comments back at you. If I give you an example right now, you tell me that I'm doing politics. So I won't. But you know what I'm talking about. You can tell it. The arrogance by what they say and the response they give to issues. Why do you want to vote for somebody like that? Because the Bible says anybody who is like that, wisdom is not around. Because with humility comes wisdom. Number 6, we must vote for leaders of integrity who stand for truth and justice and unity. They stand for truth and justice and unity. It's important. The people you are voting for, they must be men and women of integrity. They should be correct. They should be ethical. They should be morally upright. So ask yourself, the person I'm going to vote for, is he or she a man of integrity? Does he stand for the truth? Does he stand for justice? Is he somebody who will unite the nation or is going to split the country up? And there are a lot of leaders, they divide us on political lines. They divide us on ethnic lines. They divide us, you know, on tribal lines. So if there is any political person vying for office who, Jale, it's hot here, turn on the fans, let's see whether it will make a difference. So Maxwell, you see the problem. There's a problem with that one. That's a reason for it. All right, don't worry, we are trying to solve the problem small. Look, when you step outside, the horn will be tea heat. But your name is who stand for truth and justice. And look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. Proverbs 6. 16 to 19. There are 6 things the Lord hates. No, 7 things he detests. Haughty eyes or proud looking people a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, opentem, a false witness who pours out lies. The person you are voting for, Okanukware. SDA. Me say the person you are voting for. So when you go into the booth on Saturday, I said, Okanukware. And you can tell, Naona, you can tell from the history, from what the person has said in the past, we can do fact check and you realize that this person doesn't speak the truth. So why should you vote for such a person? Hallelujah. A false witness, a person who sows discord in a family, a person who sows divides us. The whole country is divided because of that person. You shouldn't vote for such a one. Amen. Number 7, we must vote for leaders who will lead with fairness and impartiality. Leaders who will vote, who will lead with fairness and impartiality. Leaders who will lead with fairness and impartiality. Are you okay, my dear? Are you fine? You're all right. Okay, that's fine. When you close, come and see me. I'll let them give you sobolo, okay? Because the energy levels never firm. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. At that time, again, Moses is explaining, I instructed the judges, you must hear the cases of your fellow Israelites and the foreigners living among you. Be perfectly fair in your decisions and impartial in your judgments. Fair in your decisions and impartial in your judgments. Menye enshishim. Enshishim. Enim. There's something called nepotism, and it's very common in our country where, you know, it's about your family, those who are close to you, your friends and your cronies. It's like everything is directed at them. Everything is channeled towards them. And it becomes a family and friends affair. Like you're trying to have a family and friends service. Okay. Look, it's not a good thing. It's not fair. And it's not right that everything is coming to you and your family and your friends. So ask yourself, the people I'm going to vote for, are they like that? And if they are like that, don't vote for them. Number 8, we must vote for leaders through whom we can live peaceful, quiet, and godly lives with dignity. We can live peaceful, quiet, and godly lives with dignity. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Usually the first Sunday of the month, we go a little bit more. And we are not having communion today. We are having communion next week, Sunday. It says, New Living Translation, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Can we read it together so that I can be sure you're here with me? Ready? Go! Continue. And all who are in authority. So that what? Peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. What it means is that to have peace, to be able to live a godly life, to have a life of dignity, it is connected to those who are in power. That's what it means. So when you go voting, ask yourself that, this person, is he a peaceful person? I had somebody taking on the British High Commissioner to Ghana because she made a statement that there's a lot of talk in town that these elections are not going to be peaceful. And the person was explaining that you also can't just say that. And what he explained was that the two main people who are standing for the presidency of this nation, I mean, there are two front runners. It is what it is. Yeah. He was explaining that both of them, at least, you can see that in the past or whatever, they just seem to gravitate towards peace. But it's important. You can't just vote for somebody and somebody who like, hey, Chobwe, we are pulling cutlass, we are pulling. You can't just vote for somebody like that. It will destroy the country. And I can tell you this, my friends. There are some things in this life, it is only when you lose them that you begin to appreciate how valuable they were. One of them is peace. If you like, let's lose it. We don't like. Let's lose it and see what's going to happen to us. And I've told you before that the friends that you didn't take seriously when you were in school, it may come back to haunt you. Because if you go up, country Benewoho, Burkina Faso, when you go right, country Benewoho, Togo, when you go left, country Benewoho, Cote d'Ivoire, Casa Bena, that three countries, yeah, you can. Can French ni be mamintie? Ena asia hono dene woho. Ensio, ask your neighbor, do you know swimology? How many of you can swim like me? Even shower cry, you don't see inside. So if you notice that there is somebody who is always talking up, look, don't vote for anybody who makes statements like Ghana will burn. Ghana will be at war. Let your antennas shoot up when you hear anybody that you are thinking of voting for making those statements. It's an alarm. It should trigger something inside you. It should raise a flag. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So watch it. Last but one, we must vote for leaders who themselves will submit to the governing authorities. Because if you're a leader and you can't submit to the governing authorities in place, why should we vote for you? What are some of the governing authorities? Electoral Commission, the courts, Supreme Court, the judicial system that we have in place, the National Peace Council, the police. These are governing authorities. So if you are voting for somebody and the person does not seem to respect these governing authorities, you should realize that there's a problem there. Now, the fact of the matter is that these governing authorities, sometimes they have issues and they have problems. But you can't just throw them away. Because if we do that, we'll have total anarchy and confusion in the nation. Romans 13 verse 1. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. Everyone, including those who are vying for power. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities. And the last one. Vote for leaders who will be good stewards of the public funds and the resources of the country. They will be good stewards of the public funds and the resources of this country. Those are the people you must vote for. They will take good care of the public funds, and they will take good care of the resources of the country. That means that they won't be corrupt. That means that they won't accept bribes. I think that one of the most godly presidents we've ever had, men of integrity, one of them is Atta Mills of blessed memory. The story is told of how when he got into office, after he was elected and he got in and sat in the office, I'm not sure where it was at that time, Jubilee House or the castle. I think he stayed more in the castle. Yeah. I heard that people kept coming with Ghana must go bags full of money. And he asked that, what is this for? We are coming to welcome you. Ask your neighbor, will you collect? Tell your neighbor, Siko Oscar! Siko Oscar! Siko Oscar! He rejected them. Yes, all of them. He rejected them. And it was, there was something about him. You may have had a problem with him. He was a Christian. And you may have had issues with him. You may not have liked his style of leadership. But you could see that this was somebody who had a problem with the corruption. He would go to customs, the ports, your people, all of that, and go and create fire there. And he would ask that, you were just transferred to come and work here for 2 years. You have built a mansion. How is it possible? So transfer them. Send them to the border close to Cote d'Ivoire. That border that is in the bush somewhere. Then go and build a house there. That's the kind of person he was. Protecting the public funds. I had a story, supposed to be a true story, that there's a school. Yeah, before somebody gets into trouble, but there's a school somewhere. Now, the road to the school is a very bad road. So the owner of the school came up with a proposal to the district assembly and all of that, that I want to construct a proper asphalted road, but allow me to put a toll booth on it so that those who use that road will pay. Let me do this for a number of years. After I have recouped my investment, I hand it over back to you. It is done. It is done. The response was no. Why? Because they are not going to get a cut or get a percentage. They are not going to get it. And it's common knowledge. And both parties that have ruled us over the last 16 whatever years, they are all guilty of the same. Can we be a little honest here? Can we try to be just a little bit honest about this? So the investors, when they are coming in, they have worked it into their budget. They know that there's a percentage that we have to give to these guys. Otherwise, we can't get the contract. So you look at the contract and you realize that it has not been given to the most qualified, but rather it's been given to somebody. You look at somebody who has been given a road contract. Akuko Buokra Unsibida. I have a daughter. She was given a contract to build two schools. She hasn't built anything before. But why was she given the contract? Because the person awarding the contract is going to get a percentage. So sometimes they will tell you, I'm going to help you to get this grant. Okay? But when you get the money, 50%. Yeah, sometimes that's how wicked they are. 50% of the grant money you give to me. Do you agree? So then you have to enter into an arrangement with them. You open a joint account. Then the money is put there. So when the money comes, it's like you can't withdraw it without them. You give them their portion, then you can get for them. Now that's it. And I have no idea. It's so common in our country. So as we are voting, please let's vote for people who will protect the public funds. Not that the resources of the country, you are willing it to your children and your grandchildren forever. You can't do that. Tell your neighbor, that ain't right. You can't do that. So come Saturday, before you go, pray and consider all these 10 points that I have shared with you. And when you step into the booth, remember that I am a Christian, that I'm a believer, that I believe in biblical principles. Tell yourself that this time around, I'm not just going to vote because of party colors, but I'm going to vote based on real, pragmatic, practical issues that affect the well-being of this country. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have any other country. And Ghana may have challenges, but I think that it's one of the best places on earth that you can live in. I can say so because I've traveled quite wide. I've been to a lot of countries by the grace of God. And I can tell you that God has blessed us with a great country. I'll also say, Adien Asachia, Batembuye. Let's trust God. But let's also use wisdom as we vote. And let's pray that at the end of the day, whoever is elected as president of this country will be somebody that God will use to change the lot of this country. May Ghana become great again. May justice, truth, and fairness become things that we will see in this country once again. But your vote is your power. Please exercise it well. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Rise to your feet. Let us pray. I want us to spend a few minutes and let's pray that as we go to the polls on Saturday, God will guide and direct us to vote wisely. We want to pray for a peaceful election. We pray that the correct leaders will be elected. We want to pray that nothing will disturb the peace of this country. We want to pray that no lives will be lost, and want to pray that things will go well come Saturday. Can you lift up your voices and pray in the name of Jesus? This week we've been praying about it. Last week, this week also, during our prayer rendezvous, we're going to pray for this country and pray for the elections. But for a few minutes, I want you to lift up your voices and pray now in the name of Jesus. Shall we pray? Imaka pandolo mosi kapandere baya baba basi kapandolo moko setele mediada. Ipatala mako setele meke bali mazandele bedi bali apada bali 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 setele bedi ya. Ipatala mama kapaya ndani 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 ya. Pray for the peace of this country. Because when there is peace in this country, you and I will have peace. It is not about our
Ipatala makopa ya kopsa genino, ipatosa genino kopa dolo makota, ipatala makopa ya kopsa genino, ipatosa genino kopa dolo makota, 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 ipatosa genino kop
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Every head bowed and every eyes closed. Somebody invited you to church today. We are so glad that you joined us for service. But I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Now, don't be in a hurry to answer that question. Think about it. Is Jesus in your heart? Is Jesus in your life? Have you made him Lord and King over your life? You know, it is the most important decision that you have to take in this life. And the good news is that Jesus is here waiting to receive you and embrace you. I want to pray with you. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, if you are not sure whether your name is written in the book of life, I can pray with you. Wherever you are, wherever you're standing, if you want me to pray for you, for Jesus to come into your heart, I want you to lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you right where you are. God bless you. I see your hands. I see your hands. Listen, it's between you and your God. Don't allow yourself to be intimidated by the people standing around you, what they'll think, what they'll say about you. It's between you and your God, please. So if you know deep in your heart that you've not surrendered your heart to Jesus, lift up that hand very clearly. God bless you. I see your hands. You may be watching us also, but right there in your room, Jesus is seeing you. And you know that you're not saved, but that situation can change. Just lift up your hand right where you are. God bless you. Now, I want us to pray this prayer together and let everybody join in. Say, dear Lord Jesus, this afternoon, I come to you.
Just as I am.
Oh God.
Please forgive me.
For all my sins.
Wash me.
With the blood of Jesus.
From today.
I receive Jesus.
As my Lord.
And my Savior. For the rest of my life.
I will serve him.
And I'll follow him.
Oh God.
Please fill me.
With your Holy Spirit.
He's my helper.
He's my guide.
He's my teacher.
Without him,
I cannot make it. Grant me your spirit.
So that my life
will pan out well.
Thank you, Father.
For hearing my prayer.
Please write my name.
In the book of life.
So today.
1st December.
1st December.
2024.
2024.
I am saved.
I am saved.
I am born again.
I am a child of God.
Thank you, Father.
For answering my prayer.
In Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody shout aloud, Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.